Eye on the Arctic, Views from the North, I'm Elish Quinn. Today on the column, we turn our attention to India. It's a country that's becoming an increasingly important actor in the Arctic. Now, recently, a team of scientists from the country deployed its first multi-sensored moored observatory in the Arctic near Norway. And joining us now to tell us all about it is the director of India's National Center for Antarctic and Ocean Research, Rajan Sivaramakrishnan. I understand that the observatory is called INDARC. Can you tell us a little bit more about the project and where exactly the observatory is located now?
Currently, the observations for about 16 stations continuously over the summer period. But what happens during this winter period when the fjord gets frozen over? So we had to have a permanent observation station there which can monitor the variabilities in the water temperature, in the biological organisms, through the entire annual cycle, including the winter period. So that is where the idea of putting a mooring system there with a series of sensors came into play. So we had a series of interactions with the scientists from the Norwegian Polar Institute as well as among our own scientists, and we formed a core group of scientists and we decided that we should have at least a series of about 10 sensors at different depths in the fjord. And we selected an area where the water depth is of the order of about 190 meters. And we fabricated instruments, we got the sensors, and for thanks to the Norwegian Polar Institute, the vessel also was made available for us. And before we realized it, we had on the 23rd of July, we successfully launched the first mooring observatory of its kind by Indian scientists in the polar regions. That's why the INDARC came, Indian Arctic Mooring System.
And I'm trying to, you know, what does it look like? Is it like a small box or is it something bigger? I'm trying to picture what it looks like and sort of what's involved in placing it in the fjord.
Okay. It's almost like you must have seen several of these floating buoys there. It's a spherical ball kind of structure within which we have installed several of the sensors. So it's actually tethered to the fjord bottom by means of an anchor. So through the anchor itself, at discrete intervals, we have put several sensors. So sensors go on recording all the parameters at different depths. If I want to know the water variation, water temperature from between the near surface waters to the bottom of the fjord, I've got a sensor at the bottom, I've got a sensor at the top, I've got a sensor at the middle portion. So it continuously goes on recording the water temperature. And what we do is that every year, because we cannot be continuously monitoring, we go there once in 3 months or so, we download the data, and then afterwards all of our experiments start with the kind of data which you have generated.
So in terms of the kind of data that you'll be able to collect now, mm-hmm. it's going to give you it's the same types of data that you've been using with your other projects, but it's going to give a more complete picture of how things change throughout the year. Is that correct?
You are right. Because we are going to get a continuous series of observations, which otherwise was not possible because we can't go to the same place and do 24/7 observations. It's not humanly possible. But sensor would replace the kind of measurements which you have to make.
And, you know, when most people think of Arctic research, India often isn't, you know, one of the first countries that comes to mind. But we know increasingly more and more important work is being done in the country and in the Arctic and Antarctica. And tell us a little bit about, you know, why science in these polar regions is so important to the scientific community in India.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question because that's something which people have been asking us also. Why should a tropical nation like India be interested in what's happening in the polar regions? The simplest answer is that whatever is happening in the two polar regions, whether we are talking about Arctic or Antarctica, has got a direct and indirect influence on our climate. Because as you know that there are two ways by which the whole world is united, either by means of the atmosphere or through the oceans. So whatever is happening in the Arctic and Antarctica, it has got a direct connection between what is happening in India. And if you're talking in terms of the monsoon phenomena, monsoon, as you know, the Indian monsoon is the rainy period, you know. We have got two kinds of weather patterns. One is that the rainy season, which starts sometime around June and lasts up to September. And then another a monsoon phase, which starts from almost from November, it goes up to December. So this period of wet face, as we call it. It is the backbone of Indian economy. The entire rainfall for the entire year is actually captured in India during the period of about 3 or 4 months. So any excess of rainfall, and India, as you know, is a basic and agrarian economy. Too much of rainfall is also not good for us. Too little of rainfall is also harmful for us. So we have to look at what are the factors which are responsible for driving this monsoon phenomena. And unlike the climatic variations, or unlike that warm, wet, cold phases in the Europe and elsewhere, the Indian monsoon is controlled by a variety of parameters. It's about more than about 16 parameters are responsible for controlling the monsoon phenomenon in India. One of it happens to be what is happening in the polar regions. So we thought that, and we still think that way, whatever is controlling the climatic variability in the Arctic should have a bearing. It could be a direct forcing mechanism, or it could be an indirect forcing mechanism on the enhanced phases of monsoon, on the phasing of the monsoon, and on the intensity.
But it really affects the globe. It affects the world. It's not just the immediate circumpolar areas.
Mm-hmm. See, all of us should be worried about what is happening in the polar regions. It's not only that Nordic countries or the people, or the countries of the polar regions, who should be worried about it. All countries have got a stake in what is happening in the polar regions, because directly or indirectly it affects their very existence.
Well, Rajan Siva Ramakrishnan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today about this.
I appreciate the pleasure. It's all mine. Thank you.